welcome to a special Briefings Direct podcast series coming to you from the HP Software Universe 2010 conference in Washington, D.C. We're here the week of June 15th, 2010, to explore some major enterprise software and solutions trends and innovations making news across HP's ecosystem of customers, partners, and developers. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and I'll be your host throughout this series of HP-sponsored Software Universe live discussions. We're now joined by Robin Pruitt, Vice President and General Manager of the Software Products Business Unit for HP Software and Solutions. Welcome back to Briefings Direct, Robin.
Great to talk to you again, Dana.
You know, we're seeing a lot of changes in the market, and this whole notion of management to me seems to be exploding. There's just so many moving parts. People in these large organizations are expected to manage software and services, manage them on and off premises. And we're also managing more up and down the op dev or development to operations lifecycle. Tell me a bit about, you know, how this complexity is being handled. How are enterprises beginning to adjust to this larger scope and definition of management?
Yeah, well, you know, our customers are dealing with some of the most significant combination of changes in IT technologies and paradigms that I've ever seen. So whether it's a whole new way of developing applications like Agile, real acceleration of virtualization out of desktop and test environments into production workloads, and all this evaluation of where the cloud and SaaS fits in how they support the enterprise applications. So all of these things and more are colliding at once. And so what they're dealing with is saying, how do we take advantage of these new technology shifts and new ways of dealing with technology to get dramatic impact in cost, but not increase the risk? And so how can I do things faster, cheaper, but do things right? And so what they're looking for is a way to somehow simplify and automate the use of all these technologies and their processes using management software so they get the most they can out of these new paradigm shifts while they kind of keep up with what the business wants them to do.
Now, depending on the type of organization or even within enterprises, different parts within different units, there seems to be an emphasis on, well, let's try to use public clouds as best we can. Others are saying, well, no, we really want to focus on building out a private or on-premises cloud capability. Surely hybrids will be growing more common and perhaps in many different permutations across these different organizations and within them. How important, from your perspective, is addressing the management issue about hybrid cloud computing?
Yeah, first of all, I'd say is that compared to a year ago, you know, the active interest of our clients in cloud computing has just exploded. I think last year is a curiosity for many senior IT executives, something on the horizon. But this year, it's really an active evaluation. And I'd say most customers are looking initially at something a little safer, meaning a private cloud approach where there's either a stack of infrastructure and or applications run for them by somebody else on their site or at some offsite operation. So that seems to be the predominant paradigm. The challenge they have is that set of cloud services, that private cloud service, is really just a piece of a puzzle to run kind of their business operation. It's usually a slice of infrastructure or a certain class of applications that's part of a larger critical business service for their company. So what they have to do is to figure out, well, how do they take advantage of that, target the right workload where it's okay to take that risk, select the right partner, but then make sure that all of the instrumentation of making sure they're getting what they wanted out of it is actually integrated with the rest of their operation. Otherwise, it's just another thing to manage.
And while they can control many of the aspects of these applications and data sets when they have an on-premises or private cloud, they lose some of that control when they move outside. But perhaps management and governance will be the common bridge that allows them to feel that the risk is manageable.
That's right. Now, I think here's the big risk is that the business is moving so fast. You know, they read all the articles in Business Week and The Economist and ask their IT guys, well, why can't we do this? And so they actually want IT to move faster to even public cloud computing. So the challenge for IT is that how do they enable, you know, that kind of level of innovation at the right pace, but make sure that it's all very well governed. So simple things like okay, are we getting what we pay for in terms of performance, the capability that we paid for, and the capacity we paid for, if we're kind of sourcing some sort of elastic-like service? And by the way, is that environment secure so we're not putting the business at risk? And then if I want to change to a different cloud provider or another private provider, how do I do that in a fairly nimble way without having to re-architect everything that I've done? So that whole notion of cloud governance, we think, is one of the most critical things to get right near term so that the IT guys can keep up with the business guys but manage all the risk, because they're still next is still going to be on the line.
And as you mentioned earlier, Robin, the cost on pressure, the pressure on cost, I should say, is still very high. Do you foresee that managing these issues about control and risk will also, at some point, help define, analyze, and ultimately control and reduce the total costs? Are they perhaps even the same type of problem?
Yeah. Well, it's important to look at where the costs are coming from. So there's two really big cost drains in IT. One is that when they roll out new applications, that, you know, still the majority of the time, things don't work well when they initially roll something out. And so if you think of Agile and the pace at which now new applications and innovations are being rolled out, it really means that you have to get things right the first time. So first thing is to tackle that problem as you kind of go to these hybrid models. And the second thing is that, you know, the actual, you know, most companies still are trying to get a handle on a tight way of simplifying and automating the world of operation in a very chaotic environment. So, you know, a typical data center is dealing with 900 changes a month. It costs them they might get 1 million incidents over a couple of months, and each one of those incidents could cost up to $80 in labor. So you can just imagine how chaotic and how expensive it is just to run day by day. So it's really critical for both kind of the handoff of the applications from application to operations, as well as just, you know, running the day-to-day operations, that this is incredibly automated and incredibly simplified and all focused around the impact of all these things to what the business wanted in the first place. So if we believe do that right and then make extensions into all of these kind of same core processes to accommodate a SaaS model or a private cloud model or even ultimately a public cloud model, without having to change all of that, you're going to be able to bridge from today to the future, getting all that benefit without, and actually keep reducing your costs, because you want to keep doing this kind of innovation in a sustainable way, right?
Okay, so into this environment of change and complexity and the pressure to gain control, reduce risk, and control costs, HP has this week announced the Business Service Management 9. Give us perhaps an overview of how that all shapes up and perhaps relates to this environment we've been discussing.
Absolutely. This has been a great release, and we're incredibly proud of it. BSM 9, or Business Service Management 9, is our solution for end-to-end monitoring of services in the data center. It's been a great business for us, and we have a breakthrough release that we revealed to our customers this week that's anchored around what we call a runtime service model. So a service model is basically a real-time map of everything from the business transactions that the business is running to all of the software that makes up that composite application to the service and all of the infrastructure, whether it be physical or virtual or on-premise or off-premise, that supports all of that application. So all of that together, knowing how it's connected, what the health of it is, what's changing in it, so you can actually make sure it's all running exactly the way the business expects, is really critical. And if you can imagine what we talked about with virtualization and the rate of change there of people optimizing virtual workloads, new application components being fired into the data center with Agile, and maybe some outsourced environments in private and public clouds, that service model better be real-time, up-to-date all the time. And that's the real breakthrough, is that before we had a service model that was really linked to, the configuration that we thought was running. But now the necessity to have everything up to date in real time with all of this increased velocity is really critical. So we've rolled that out, and it'll be now the backbone for all of our end-to-end monitoring. The other thing I'd stress is that once you have that, especially in this very fast-paced environment, you can really increase the levels of automation. So anything from, you know, when you detect an event to making sure you know exactly what was going on at the time of the event so you can help people diagnose it and probably help solve it, because most of the times these things are based on what you've seen before. So we've taken all of our world-class automation technology and wrapped it right in to this end-to-end monitoring solution to automate everything possible. And so we think this can drive dramatic reduction in the cost of operations. And the last thing I'd emphasize is that, you know, there's a lot of people involved in solving these problems and running these operations. What's important of all of them have a very personalized UI that looks and feels like a modern application, but all based on one version of the truth of what's going on. So we've made major improvements in just overhauling the way all of this is presented in a very rich Web 2.0 way, but also in a way that's very targeted to the needs of every single individual user in operations.
Okay, so you announced some software, some services, this collaboration issue, some new partnerships, developing the ecosystem as well. It sounds as if you're allowing more variability in this runtime environment, but creating more commonality in the management layer or capability, and then extending that both outward to the environment, but letting the automation then come back in terms of self-management. Is that a fair assessment?
Right. That's the trick. Is that, you know, again, there's a lot of people involved in running these business critical services. You want to personalize it for them, but you also want to simplify what you provide to them, make sure it's always accurate in real time. So what we try to solve is both problems at once: the simplification of the user experience, and the and making sure that the criticality of what we're showing them is always up to date and always accurate.
And what has been some of the response? What are you hearing from the customers, from the folks you're talking to? Do they seem to feel that the solution set that you're providing is aligned with their problems?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we actually had a couple of really great customers speak to the solution with us this week. And Boeing is a big customer, has been a longtime user of BSM from us. And, you know, they got massive improvements in their service level agreements. They basically were in a condition red, and now they're, you know, well over, I think, 98-99% SLAs. And they've been able to claim, even with the previous solution, you know, more than $1 million in cost and, you know, massive reductions in repair time from 10 hours to 1 hour. So that's even with the current solution. What they've told us, as they've been part of our beta program, is that, boy, this is going to take it to a whole other level. You know, they can't quantify the impact, but they're going to see their ability to actually take on these new technologies and not be afraid that all these great gains that they've had with their previous release, they're just going to get better and better. So that was a great success. And we also had Sprint talk on stage with us to our customers about their evaluation of the product, and they're incredibly excited. You can imagine telcos have all sorts of pressures on both cost as well as agility right now, highly competitive environment. And what customers like Sprint like is the fact that they really can have a very dynamic experience, right? We can run part of this for them with our SaaS offering, and they can monitor internally, or they can have a cloud provider like running part of their network or a business partner, and they really don't have to change the way that they're going to operate their operations. So, yeah, we think that our customers is a huge step forward.
Okay, and these are two different types of customer, an enterprise and a service provider.
Right.
As HP helps the cloud providers build out their clouds, if there's a common approach, methodology, understanding, even culture around the management, both in the enterprises and the cloud providers, doesn't that provide really a whole greater than the sum of the parts when it comes to managing the entire life cycle?
Yeah, that's right. And what we haven't touched too much on is that, you know, I think what we're trying to do at HP is not just worry about the data center as well, right? We're trying to help customers really adapt and morph these applications into the new world. And, you know, what most customers are doing is they're shifting their IT focus on innovating around the application, which means, you know, more of their people that they have internally are creating new IP, you know, in the form of a new application for a salesperson or a new customer-facing portal that's going to drive more revenue. So what we're really trying to do is to help them bridge that world, which is very innovation-centric, into this new hybrid world, which has to be very operationally tight. So a couple of things that we've done, also that we also announced this week that got great feedback, is a new capability called Application Deployment Manager, which is basically an extension to our industry-leading automation capabilities. It really allows development, QA, and operations to coordinate handoffs of applications in a very well-prescribed way so they can make sure that what they designed gets handed off and rolled out into the production environment in a very crisp, automated way, in a way that represents the best practice of everything that's been learned in the QA cycle. So that was a big step forward. And we've also really kind of worked really upstream. We've extended our our quality management solution to kind of tackle the requirements problem, linking business developers and QA together, and opened up that environment so it's much easier to integrate with source code management tools, development tools, like folks like CollabNet. So CollabNet, one of the industry-leading development tools providers, has announced they've integrated with that new open interface. We also support any software out there in that environment. So that's going to allow us to bridge all that upstream innovation, make sure it is designed and tested correctly, and then hand it off in an automated way into production and run it as a new optimized hybrid environment. So we really are tackling the whole problem, which is really, I think, the things that our customers are most excited about.
Great. Now, Robin, you've been involved with these issues for some time, and I remember back seemingly not too long ago when just getting visibility into a distributed computing environment that you completely controlled was considered a very big deal. How important is this to you personally, this notion of being able to gain visibility, apply management, and then automate?
Yeah, to me, I mean, this set of releases and the reveal of the strategy is to me an extremely proud moment. I'll tell you is that this has been the vision that we've had for some time, particularly around BSM9, being able to bring all these points of monitoring information together in a simple, powerful way to solve this big business problem. And what's changed, though, is that the necessity to go do that now in these kind of new, rapidly changing environments, all this new technology becomes even more important to our customers. So I think for us, it's particularly with BSM9, it's vision being turned into reality at just the right time for our customers. So that's really the most exciting thing for me about what we did this week.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been very busy here at the show. Appreciate your input and good luck.
All right, Dana. Thanks again.
And thanks to our audience for joining us for this special Briefings Direct podcast coming to you from the HP Software Universe 2010 conference in Washington, D.C. Look for other podcasts in this HP event series on the HP.com website, as well as via the Briefings Direct network. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, your host for this series of Software Universe Live discussions. Thanks again for listening, and come back next time.